Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Redeemer Theological Academy. Confessing Christ to an Unbelieving World. With Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer.
You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Keschelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in today's lecture, we want to continue our discussion of baptism in Paul's letter to the Romans. And again, when Paul writes to the Romans, he's writing to the Christians who are baptized. He's writing to the baptized in Rome. It should be of no surprise that in Romans chapter 6, he says, "We were buried, therefore, with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Now again, in baptism, this is God's work. This is God bringing us into the kingdom through his means of water and the word through which the Holy Spirit is given. For that reason, Paul will remind the baptized in Romans chapter 8, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." And once more, recall that in holy baptism, we are baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And in these two chapters, in Romans 6 and Romans 8, we have all three persons of the blessed Holy Trinity at work. Remember, the Father here has sent forth his Son to do what the law could not do, weakened by sinful flesh. So he sent forth his Son into the flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. Now, in baptism, the Holy Spirit is calling, gathering, and enlightening and sanctifying the whole Christian church on earth and keeping it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And thus, in baptism, we are united into Christ, buried with Christ into his death, and also raised from the dead by the glory of the person of the Father. And thus, if the person of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Son is the one who comes to seek and to save the lost. The Holy Spirit calls, gathers, and enlightens and sanctifies us to be adopted sons. And so, in Romans chapter 8, Paul will continue and say, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but rather you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." And then into Romans chapter 9, Paul continues this whole discussion. From baptism, the work of the Holy Spirit, giving us this gift of sonship, this grace of adoption, Paul continues with this whole understanding of calling and being adopted as sons, sons of the promise. Thus, in Romans chapter 9, starting at verse 24, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, tells us that the Holy Spirit calls not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles, to be his people, to be the church. And then at verse 25 in chapter 9, Paul will reiterate this fact that the apostles are echoing the same song as the prophets of old. For the same Holy Spirit who is speaking through the apostles is the same Holy Spirit who was speaking through the prophets. and he goes back to the prophet Hosea, and he quotes Hosea as saying, "Those who were not my people, I will call my people, and her who was not beloved, I will call beloved." And then Paul continues at verse 26, saying that in the very same place where it was said to them, "You are not my people," there they will be called sons of the living God. Now, there's a couple of things that I want you to see here. First of all, again, Paul is speaking the same voice of God as the prophets of old. It's the same preaching office through which the Holy Spirit is working to call, to gather, to enlighten, to sanctify, and to make those people who are not God's people, God's people, to awaken and to strengthen faith in Jesus. Now take note that first, Paul goes to the prophet Hosea with this phrase, "not my people." Now, of course, originally, this idea here is that the Jews alone have the oracles of God. The Jews alone have the written scripture as a depository of the promises of the Messiah, waiting in anticipation of the seed that would crush the serpent's head, born of the virgin. So therefore, those who had the word had the light in the midst of this darkened world, where the devil is at work deceiving the Gentiles, the Goyim, the nations, those who did not have this light. But of course, in the book of Hosea, things are turned around. And so the people who are not God's people will become God's people. But yet the people who are God's people will become not God's people. Okay, are you tracking with me? This might be a little difficult to follow. But let me try this again. If you have the gospel and the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart, calling you, awakening you, giving you faith, converting you by opening your eyes to see, your ears to hear, and your heart to believe. This is the work of the Holy Spirit through the gospel message, the good news, the good word about Jesus, that in Christ, God and sinner are reconciled, that God is doing a new thing. He is sending forth his Son to remove sin and destroy the works of the devil, to bring those who are in darkness into his marvelous light. Well, how does he do this? Through the light of his word. So when the word is heard, this is how God works. The Holy Spirit is working through the Word. Now, if you don't have the Word, then the Holy Spirit's not at work through the Word. If you are the people of Israel, the sons biologically of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you have this promise that was given to you, passed down from generation to generation, and written down for posterity's sake to make certain and sure that the voice that you're hearing from the preaching office of the prophets and the priests is the same voice of God, and not a different voice, not a different doctrine, not a doctrine of demons and the way of the world and deception of the devil, darkness, but rather light. Thus, if you are a biological son of Abraham, you have the gift of God's word, the oracles of God, the promise of the Messiah. Now, if you are not of biological descent of Abraham, you do not have this word. However, in the Old Testament scriptures itself, it testifies to the fact that this word is heard from the people of God out into the Gentile world. I mean, for instance, we see this with the prophet Jonah going out to the Gentiles. We see this with Rahab, the prostitute at the city of Jericho. She heard the word about Yahweh and his redemption and deliverance from Egypt, and she was converted by the work of the Holy Spirit. So throughout the Old Testament, we do see this testimony of the Gentiles who are not God's people, who do not have God's word, being brought to faith by that word. When that word is heard and brought to them, the Holy Spirit brings them into the people of God. All right, so if you're tracking with me to begin with, again, the people of God have the word of God. Those who are not the people of God do not have the word of God. However, the Holy Spirit can and has brought that word to be heard by those people who never had the word, and then by the work of the Holy Spirit converted their hearts, opening their eyes to see and their ears to hear, so that they become partakers of the promise. Okay, so I hope you're tracking so far, but now we want to move on to the next understanding here, that if you have the word of God, but you refuse to listen to the voice of God, you reject the word of God and resist the work of the Holy Spirit, then your heart becomes hardened and calloused. No longer is the Holy Spirit then at work through the word to convert your heart, but now you have refused to listen, rejected and resisted God's calling and enlightening. So instead of your heart continuously being converted and faith being awakened and strengthened, you become calloused in your heart and you lose faith and are stuck with an unbelieving heart. And that's why the Holy Spirit is constantly warning us of this situation and this scenario. In fact, Paul will use this understanding in Romans chapter 11, for the Jews who heard the good word about Jesus being the fulfillment of the promise, but yet rejecting him and resisting the work of the Holy Spirit, versus the Gentiles who were converted to faith by the work of the Holy Spirit, and they rejoice in the voice of God, and they hear the word and believe. And so in Romans chapter 11, verse 20, Paul says that these Jews who rejected Jesus were broken off because of their unbelief. So he's using this as a warning. And then he goes on to talk to the baptized who have been converted and says, "You, however, stand fast through faith. So do not become proud." You see, here's this warning. So what's happening here is they have not heeded the warning of the prophets of old. And like in the days of the prophet Hosea, those who were God's people became not God's people because they rejected the word and resisted the work of the Holy Spirit. However, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the gospel, the good news, the message of salvation found in Jesus alone, this is the way that the Holy Spirit is calling and enlightening. So those who were not God's people became God's people by the power of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at Hosea. Now in Hosea chapter 1, the prophet Hosea is speaking to the people of God who have the word of God. Israel, the church, the people of God, the bride, became unfaithful in the days of Hosea. And so therefore, the Lord told Hosea himself to take an unfaithful whoring wife. And then Hosea took the wife and had a daughter, and she named the daughter No Mercy. And the God explains why, because I will have no mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. And then later on, Hosea had another child, a son. And the Lord told Hosea to name the son, Not My People. Why? The Lord said, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. as the scroll of Hosea is opening up. The God is to be the husband, and the people of God, Israel, is to be the bride. However, the people of God followed false lovers. They followed other voices, the voices of the world and doctrines of demons. So they became not God's people, and then they became those who have no mercy before God. Now, how do you become God's people? How do you have mercy before God? By hearing the word of God. Faith comes through preaching Christ. And when you reject the message of salvation found in Jesus alone, you have no salvation with God. You have no redemption. You have no refuge before God. You are dead in your sin and tied up in your own transgressions and trespasses. You are stuck with your own self-righteousness that will not stand before God. So therefore, you are just like the unconverted, unbelieving, unrepentant Gentiles who are not God's people and have no mercy because they have no faith. Now, this is the passage from the prophet Hosea that the apostle Paul is referring to. But of course, he quotes for us from Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Yet the number of the sons of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, sons of the living God. Of course, this goes back to the promise given to Abraham, that in Abraham the nations would be blessed, that the sons of Abraham, that would be the sons of the promise, would not be able to be numbered or counted like the sand, like the grains of sand on the seashore or the stars in the sky. Now, how do those who are not God's people become sons of the living God? Well, by the person in the work of the Holy Spirit, the one who is the spirit of adoption and brings us into the one true faith, faith in Jesus Christ, who alone is the only begotten Son of God. And those who trust in him become sons of the living God. Now look at how the scroll opens up in Hosea chapter 2 at verse 1. Where Hosea is told to speak to his brother, saying, you are my people, and to his sisters, you have received mercy. Again, how is this possible? Only through the power of God's word, the Holy Spirit at work with the good word, making people into God's people, giving mercy to those who have no mercy. Of course, this promise is for both Jew and Gentile. God is the one who is at work in the heart through the gospel message heard in his word in the ears and, of course, seen in ink on the scroll. Notice how he gives this message back to his own people, those who are not listening, those who are not rejoicing in the voice of God, those who are rejecting the word of God and resisting the Holy Spirit. The Lord sends the prophet so that the Holy Spirit would be given to them and work in their hearts, in which God gives this good word at verse 20 in Hosea chapter 2. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and then you shall know Yahweh. Of course, this is the whole image of Christ being the bridegroom and the church being the bride. That Christ is the everlasting Father, as Isaiah says in chapter 9. We'll get to that in a minute. But here we have this understanding that in the church, there will be many children of God. And so later on in Hosea chapter 2, verse 23, speaking this good word of promise because of Jesus, I will sow for her myself in the land. And I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And in response, he shall say, you are my God. Again, notice here that it's through the power of the gospel, the good word, the good news, the message of salvation found in Jesus alone. It is Jesus who comes to reconcile us with the Father. He's the one who works to bring us redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, and bringing us back to God. And through the power of the gospel, the good news, the Holy Spirit is at work destroying all of the unbelief, the false belief we have, so that we would reject the false deities, the false gods, and the false idols, and be able to embrace the true God, the living God, and say, He alone is my God. Of course, the only way that we can truly believe and confess the true God, declaring Him to be my God, is because of the mystery of the Incarnation, that the Son of God came down, took upon flesh, was incarnate, and was crucified for our sins and our salvation. That on the cross, He cries out and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that we would not be forsaken by God. And we can be certain and sure for the sake of Christ, we have a gracious Father. But the only way that we can have a gracious Father is if the true Son, the only begotten Son, stands in our stead as high priest and advocate right now. He is Israel reduced to one. He has done all that Israel did not do and could not do. He alone is the true Son. I want you to note this language of sonship, which is tied to our individual baptisms, which of course is tied to the baptism of Jesus, when the Father says, this is my Son. But I also want you to notice that this is rooted deep in the Old Testament, and we see this in Hosea chapter 11, in which God says, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. In the New Testament, when Jesus is born in Bethlehem, remember then the Magi come from the east, and Herod in Jerusalem is troubled in his heart, and Herod tries to wipe out any possible heirs to his throne, slaughtering the male children two and under, so that there would be no rival to him. But remember what happened? The Magi were warned in a vision, in a dream, not to tell Herod where they found the Christ child, not to bring Herod to the Christ child. And then Joseph, the stepfather and guardian of Jesus and Mary, also had a dream and a vision in which he was told to go to Egypt. Now you see the tie connected to Hosea chapter 11. Out of Egypt I called my son. Thus, the evangelist Matthew says this in chapter 2 of his gospel. Now, when the Magi departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and there remain until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And there he remained until the death of Herod. Now, of course, this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Now, again, notice that Matthew is quoting from Hosea chapter 11. But wait, there's more. This actually is deeply rooted all the way back into the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 2. Now, this is where the Lord God speaks to the prophet Moses, who's placed into this preaching office, and he tells Moses, instructing him, saying, you speak to Pharaoh. Thus says Yahweh, Israel is my firstborn son. And I say to you, O Pharaoh, let my son go, that he may serve me. Now notice that Israel, the people of God in Egypt, were in captivity and slavery. God comes to free them, to deliver them, to ransom them, and to redeem them. They may be servants of God. However, Israel failed. They did not serve God perfectly. They were not obedient unto the point of death without sin. Jesus is the only one without sin who was obedient to the point of death, death on the cross. Jesus is the true firstborn son of God. Jesus is the true Israel, the one who alone is the son, the promised son of Abraham, the true son of God. It's only by Jesus that we can become sons of the living God. Again, in Galatians chapter 3, Paul makes this clear. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith, because as many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Now, this baptismal language of being united with Christ, being buried with Christ, and being raised with Christ, Paul uses in Romans chapter 6. But I want you to see the connection here with the person and work of Christ, the true Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, who comes to seek and to save the lost by dying for our sin, the atoning sacrifice, and rising again from the grave, defeating and conquering it. Look at Hosea chapter 6. Come, let us return to Yahweh, because he has torn us so that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Now take note of this baptismal-themed language. That God has torn us so that he may heal us. God has struck us down so that he may bind us up. Now in baptism, we have this promise that we are united into the death of Jesus. Thus the Holy Spirit is working in the lives of the baptized so that we would daily die to sin. At the same time, the Lord is the one who has united us into the resurrection of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would continue to work in us, to enliven us, to vivify us, to make us alive, beginning this newness of life with new impulses, a new way of thinking, a new way of speaking, and of course, a new way of walking. As you have here in Hosea 6, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up. Well, that's language of Jesus dying for our sin, rising again on the third day. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And those who are united to him are dead to sin, but alive to God. And thus, in Hosea 6, good news, this message of the death and resurrection of Christ, that he was handed over for our trespasses and raised for our justification, is given to us as a promise in baptism. And this promise is rooted in Hosea chapter 13, in which Yahweh says, I shall ransom them from the power of Sheol, and I shall redeem them from death. O death, where are your plagues? And O Sheol, where is your sting? Note that the Holy Spirit continues to be at work with the Word, calling those who were not sons to be sons of the living God.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.